Again, the opportunity to come before you, and certainly appreciate all the fine hospitality and the love that we've been shown while we've been here. We've met a lot of new people, but yet at the same time still feel to be very much at home, and we're thankful for that. It's always good to be among God's people and always rejoice in that kindred spirit that we feel when we come together in the Lord's house. Appreciate the good food. Just appreciate everything. And thank you so much for having me down. We've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it so much. And I want to take the opportunity to invite you, if you're ever up around the Asheville, North Carolina area, and away from church, away from here, we'd love to have you come and visit and be with us at Mountain Home anytime that you can. And we're looking forward to several coming to be with us at different times. And so just come be with us when you can. Continue to pray for me as I stand before you. Our bellies are full. And it may be hard for you to sit there and listen with a full belly. It's not any easier for me to sit here and try to preach on a full belly, I can assure you. So you pray for me that God will be with us. I want to turn your attention to a simple thought. We won't be long this afternoon. Give way to Brother Ricky. We know, sheep like to sleep in the afternoon after a big meal. And so we won't be too long. But we just want to bring forward a thought in the 8th chapter of Romans, where the Apostle Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." There's a lot that we have to rejoice in those thoughts there. And the Apostle Paul starts off that with, "There is therefore now." Now, a very important thing to remember when you're reading or studying God's Word is that not all subjects, and certainly is the case in many places, or if not most or all places in the New Testament, does a thought end and start at a chapter. They're there for our convenience. Chapters and verses are there for our convenience so that we can easily locate certain areas of the Bible, but is in no way intended to suggest that a subject stops or that a subject starts. And I think that's important for us to remember as we're studying God's Word. A lot of times we can get into error and not bringing everything into its text, into the text that it's supposed to be in. And a lot of times we see that to be the case with a lot of different thoughts and that are brought out in God's Word from other people, that you have to bring it into the text of what is being said there. And the Apostle Paul certainly doesn't start a new thought was saying, therefore, there's therefore. He's bringing something, he's continuing on with the thought, and we'll have to go into the seventh chapter to figure out what all that is therefore. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to get to that last part later, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because it's important that we understand what he's saying here. But I want to concentrate, first of all, where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, at the time that he is writing this, if you read the seventh chapter of Romans, is finding a great cause of rejoicing, having experienced within himself condemnation in his heart. He has the experience, he has the emotion of condemnation in his heart, and then when he gets to the eighth chapter, he rejoices by coming to the conclusion that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're familiar with the seventh chapter, you'll see a great learning that the Apostle Paul goes through from the seventh chapter of Romans to the eighth chapter, and realizing and coming to the knowledge that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, it's to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's the qualifier. Speaking about no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Paul said in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, again, we've mentioned so much that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are done away. Behold, all things are become new. So when we see that when a child of God is in Christ Jesus, in this sense, he is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are done away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, when Paul says all things are done away, behold, all things are become new, it doesn't mean that you still don't have the inclination, as we spoke about earlier, to sin. We still have those, but I want to tell you, all things become new in the sense, in the way that you now think about them. You can't do those things that you once did and have no conviction or conscience. So you have a conviction of heart. You have a conviction of mind. You're brought to a godly sorrow. There's a repentance that we can exhibit in the child of God's life. So there are a lot of things, and that's not our text, but there are a lot of things that become new for the child of God. How is it that one gets in Christ Jesus? Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Well, the world will have you all sorts of systems of hoops and loops in order to get into Christ Jesus. But the Apostle Paul is very clear in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians where he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him is talking about God, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you are in Christ Jesus, it is because God has put you in Christ Jesus. Now, when was it that God put you in Christ Jesus? It wasn't when you decided. It wasn't when you had sown all the wild oats that you wanted to sow, and it was time for you to do what's right in order to become a child of God. No, Ephesians is clear to us in the first chapter and the fourth verse. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we see that legally and positionally, we were in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. The Apostle Paul mentions that again in the sixth chapter of Romans and about the third verse. He says, know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now, there's no water in there.
That's right.
You weren't baptized into Christ when you joined the church. You were baptized into water. But I want to tell you, there was a time when you were baptized into Christ. There was a time when you were immersed into Christ, and you were immersed into Christ from before the foundation of the world, and as many as were immersed in Christ before the foundation of the world were immersed with Christ in his death.
Right.
Know you not that so many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? It's showing that Jesus Christ's work is perfect. That He brings them all the way across. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now I want to tell you, I'm not in my glorified state today. Now you're not in your glorified state today, I assure you. But I want to tell you, you're going to be in your glorified state just as sure as He loved you from before the foundation of the world and predestinated you and called you and justified you by His blood, just as sure as that, you will be glorified because of what He has done, because you are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now let's get to this after the flesh. I didn't even see what time I started, Brother Will. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right, this is a description of those that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is not talking about one that is walking a holier walk than somebody else. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Now you say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense because I still have a propensity or a desire to sin from time to time. Yes, I do, but you remember, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new way of looking at things. You have a new way of how you deal with things. And so the one who walks not after the flesh but after the Spirit is a descriptive term of those that are in Christ Jesus. Now we can see that description all throughout God's Word. In the first chapter of Exodus, we can see where the new Pharaoh came up that didn't know Joseph. The new Pharaoh that came up and began to worry because Israel was growing. The Jews were growing so large that they began to fear that they might league up with an enemy and take them over. And you remember Pharaoh went to the Hebrew midwives and instructed the Hebrew midwives to kill any of the male babies that were born. And you remember what the lady said? It said, and they feared God and did not heed to the commandments of Pharaoh. They feared God. Now, who told them to fear God? This was way before Mount Sinai. This was way before the Scripture ever said, thou shalt not kill. Where did they get that from? Who told them that it was wrong to kill? I tell you, it was in their heart. You know, we are the epistle of Christ, and that's written in our hearts, not with ink, but with the Spirit of God. That epistle that we have shows us and demonstrates in our lives that we are a child of God. In the second chapter of Romans, we'll read over there where he says, for when the Gentiles, in the 14th verse, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, what? Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. These are those that are walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. These are those that are in Christ Jesus. We can go to the 10th chapter that are born again by the Spirit of God. They show forth the evidences of one that is in Christ Jesus. In the 10th chapter of Cornelius, we can go, well, there is no book of Cornelius. Let me save you from looking. The 10th chapter of Acts, okay? There is no Cornelius. It's the 10th chapter of Acts. We'll read about a man called Cornelius, right? A Gentile. And you remember the descriptions of him before the Apostle Peter came to him? The descriptions of him whom everybody says that the Apostle Peter went to his house to save him from hell to heaven. The description of one that prayed to God always and gave alms to much people there. The one that feared God with all his house. That is not one that needs eternal salvation. That is one that can proclaim there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's a child of God. He shows forth forth the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, it doesn't take long to be around a child of God. It shouldn't take long to be around a child of God and to see the fruits of the Spirit within them, that they manifest those things in their life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, that is a description of those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, he says there is therefore now no condemnation. As we said earlier, Paul is, the chapter prior to this is showing the experience or the emotion of condemnation that the child of God feels when he's born again by the Spirit of God. When a child of God is born again by the Spirit of God, at that time, it is not a glorious thing for the child of God. It is not a time of rejoicing. I've heard people say, I can remember the very moment that I was born again by the Spirit of God. Well, first of all, I doubt that they remember the very moment, but I assure you, when they relate to me of what joy it was, I assure you that was not when they were born again by the Spirit of God. That may have been the time that they wanted to take up their cross and to follow the Lord in conversion, but that was not the time that they were born again by the Spirit of God. Because I want to tell you what, when a child of God is born again by the Spirit of God, the first thing he sees is his need for a Savior and how ruined and lost he is without one. He doesn't see himself as being good. He sees himself as depraved. It's then that he sees that he's no good and nothing, yea, and less than nothing. It is then that he, at one time, he felt to be a king. He felt to be his own person. Now he's in need of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Apostle Paul talks about this in the 7th chapter, and we're going to go through it very quickly. He says in the 5th verse of the 7th chapter, he says, "For when we were in the flesh..." Now he starts off the 5th verse of that 7th chapter. "For when we were in the flesh..." Well, Paul, you're not in the flesh anymore? He's talking about walking after the flesh. He's not walking after the flesh anymore. He's walking after the Spirit. "But for when we were..." He said, "When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." He says, "But now are we delivered from the law." Now are we delivered from the law. But now. And he tells us how that is in that second verse of the 8th chapter. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." He says, "Now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we then say? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Now, what he's talking about here is he's talking about that old law that's written on parchment papers. That old law that's written down. This says that he says, "I know what it says, because I wouldn't have known this if it hadn't have said that on parchment paper. If it hadn't have said that, I wouldn't, but I know it because it's right there." But there's a difference in that law and the commandment and the law that was written in his heart. You see, the commandment that's on the law doesn't convict you until it's written in the heart. And it's when it's written in the heart, that's when it begins to mean something to you. Not only is that telling you on the wall some commandment telling you that you're no good and you can't come up to it, or maybe you're convinced that maybe you are good enough and you have come up to it. But I want to tell you, when that commandment is in your heart, he said, "When sin revived, I died." When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That wasn't a glorious time for the Apostle Paul. When the commandment came, where? Right here in the heart. "Sin revived and I died." He said, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." That just means evil desires. "For without the law, sin was dead." In the 9th verse, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." It died. He saw himself to be wretched and undone. He goes on to say, "And the commandment which is ordained to life,
I found to be unto death. See, the child of God, when he's born again by the Spirit of God, he's like Isaiah. Woe is me, for I'm, when he saw the Lord high after the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I myself also saw the Lord high and lifted up. But did Isaiah say, glory be to God? Woe is me. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I want to tell you, when you see God for who He is, and you see your depravity, when that commandment's been written on your heart, I want to tell you that's not a glorious time for the child of God. That's a time that you experience in your own mind, in your own heart, you experience condemnation, that you are condemned. He said, for sin, in the 11th verse, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. You know there's a lot of people deceived by that nowadays. There's a lot of children of God, I believe, in the Lord, that come to the Lord's house that are deceived in this way. They're deceived in this way as to say, I tell you what, I'm too big of a sinner for that church. That church would never take me, not who I am, not with my thoughts, not with my past deeds. That church would never take me in. I want to tell you, you've been deceived. I want to tell you what the church is made up, dear child of God. The church is made up of those that feel the condemnation, but also see the glory of God, and that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that has been lifted up in Christ Jesus, because He bore our sins full and complete on Calvary's cross. He says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which was made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin working in me, that which is good. Now listen, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. I've got to move through this quickly in the 15th verse. For I know that which I do I allow not, for what I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You know, that's so confusing to read, but so understanding with my mind. I understand that completely. That warfare that the child of God has. It's always pulling and always tugging. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it is no more me... It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, listen, the Apostle Paul is not making excuses here. He's not saying, that's not me. I'm doing it, but that's not me. That's just sin that's dwelling in me, and that's justifying my actions. No, what he's saying is he's been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he says within himself, that's not who I am anymore. Even though I fight and struggle against those things in my life, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. And he goes on to say, he comes down to the point and he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is the condemnation that is pressing upon the Apostle Paul. O wretched man that I am. I believe this is a point where every child of God that's born again by the Spirit of God, I believe every child of God in some form or fashion comes to this point right here. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now you know, it's right then when the child of God sees his condemnation and he sees that he's in need of a Savior, it's right then, it's real important that we get to them. I wish we could every time. And tell them who is. Yeah. Tell them who is. Amen. Because the world's got all sorts of who's out there. Yeah. The world's got all sorts of, it's this man, it's mama's prayers, it's this homemade altar, it's this man-made altar, it's all these things, it's that baptismal over there. That's what's going to save you. Who, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul was not confused in that, and I pray and trust this morning that you're not confused this afternoon, that you're not confused with who the who is today. I'll tell you who the who is. is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one that is going to deliver us. He's the one that has delivered us. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, he said. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now listen to what he says, and this is where he comes down. And I've done a poor, not enough time to really bring it all together, but I trust that we've been able to just hit the high points here. But he comes down to that first verse and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now I want to tell you, that's a time of rejoicing for a child of God that he can say that. That there is therefore now, because Jesus Christ has paid the price. If you feel the condemnation and the weight of the law bearing upon you and you feel to be condemned, I want to tell you, he paid the price on Calvary's cross. And there is therefore now no condemnation, because you are in Christ Jesus if you feel those convictions. And if you have those convictions, if you feel that condemnation, I want to tell you the best thing you can do today is come down and ask for a home in the Lord's house. The best thing that you can do is to take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. And rejoice that there is therefore now no condemnation. And you know, even when you're in the church, you know, there's times of doubting that we go through in our lives. And all I have to do is remember what Romans 8:1 says. And you know, if I take this home with me, and I will, I plan on it, and I have troubles and doubts tomorrow because of who I am, and sin begins to deceive me and says, you're not a child of God. You couldn't be a child of God. A child of God wouldn't think that way, wouldn't do those things. You know what I got to do? All I got to do is turn to Romans 8:1. You know what it'll say? It'll say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Every time I open that God's Word up, it says there is therefore now no condemnation. Every time I'm in need, the Bible, God's Word reminds me there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we can rejoice today in that. God bless you. I appreciate the time. I've enjoyed so much being with you. Come see us when you can. Come ahead, brother.
Hearts and thousands, hearts and more.